2020 was a year where I have never seen. We actually, when we went on tour last summer, we actually went on tour, but I've never seen churches where there was a large amount of people on it, whether it was a Monday night or anywhere in between Monday to Friday night service, like I seen last year. Why? There was people wanted answers, people wanted hope. And what have we done with that responsibility that was given to us to somehow minister hope to people around us? I know we're not all called to go out on the road, but we're all called to be a missionary. This morning when we woke up was again another opportunity for us to realize that today as I get out of my bed and I get outside, and first of all, when you get out of your bed and you get out in your living room, you're on a mission field. Your wife, your children. And then when you leave there, whoever else you met, someday you and I will have to give an account to these responsibilities, to these opportunities that God has given us. Someday we're going to give an account with this body. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning is if you could turn to 1 Corinthians. It's been the message that's been burning on my heart recently. First of all, God doing a work in my own life. And especially after that, when we're at that funeral, it spoke so loudly. Ed Yoder's body was in that coffin. It was lifeless. No life in that body anymore. It was going to go back to the dust. The day of the funeral, they put it back to dust, committed it back to the Lord. But Ed will someday stand before God and give an account to what he's done with that body. And it just spoke to me that someday that I will give an account to this body. That's what we're going to give an account for. What we have done with this body. The Spirit, we became a living soul after we were born. This body was created, and God breathed into our nostrils, became a living soul. I watched all of our 9 children take their first breath. It was a lifeless body at first, and soon there was life in it. Someday, and it's something we cannot help. It is something we won't get by. It is something, you know, you can miss your payments, you can miss your mortgage payments, but you won't miss this account. Every one of us someday are going to stand before God, and we're going to give an account to what we've done to this body, whether good or bad. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting at verse 12. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthians church, and I'm beginning to do some study on where the Corinthians church was at the point, the moment. Why did he write this letter? Why was he inspired to write the word of God that he wrote to the church in Corinth? There in Corinth was an evil, wicked city in that time. And they were influenced. The body of Christ, the church, was in the center of Corinth. It was in the center of a wicked an ungodly city, and I tell you, it describes of our time. Every one of us are influenced in the times we're living in. We're influenced by the things that we see. We're influenced by the things that are going on. We can't help that. But it's in what we do with and how we allow it to influence us. Here it says, all things, verse 12, are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly and belly for the meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Verse 14, and God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to the harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Verse 18, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Verse 19, 20 are the two verses we want to look at this morning and want to talk about, and just the word that's been on my heart lately. And it says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of what? It's the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. He was talking to the believers. He was talking to those that have been redeemed. He was talking to the Christians. He was talking to those who had experienced salvation. They were transformed. They have been now a new creation. So he's encouraging to say, look, guys, look, Corinthians, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost? What does he mean by that? It's a place where, when I think of the Old Testament, before the veil was rent in two, there was the holies of holies behind that tent. There was only certain people that could enter there. That's where the presence of God was. But glory to God, when Jesus said it was finished, when he died, it says the veil was rent in two. There was no more a place for the holies of holies to be in a building anymore. It was now to be in you and I, Brother John. Isn't that exciting this morning? The kingdom of God is in you. In you, Jesse. In you, Melvin. Children, if you're saved, it's in you. The kingdom of God. Can I grasp that? It's hard for me to understand that. But I believe it. I know it's true. Because what has happened in my life. See, the days of old, before I was born again. Before I was a new creation. Brothers and sisters, I didn't want to live in that sinful condition. I want to tell you the truth. I am telling you. I hated it. Why? And I believe if you find an inmate or a man out on the street who's all doped up, if he is honest with you, completely honest, he hates what he's living. He hates how he's living. He hates what's going in his body. He hates injecting that meth into him. Why? Because our bodies were not meant for that. We were designed and created to have that, to be the temple of the Holy Ghost, for the kingdom of God to live and dwell in. Well, what comes with that? What's the kingdom of God? It's the holiness of God. It's God's righteousness. It's he writes his laws upon the table of our hearts. It's him living in us. That's what we were designed for. Look in the garden. When Adam and Eve were there, they were there, and they were in the presence of God. They didn't know anything about guilt, shame, and sin till... Now, God knew all things. God knew what he was doing. He formed a man out of the dust of the earth. It was not the perfect body. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. John can correct me. But there was something about them that could not withstand the temptation. There was something about that body that could not withstand. It couldn't stand the trial. It failed. I guarantee if I'd have been there, I'd have failed too. So it was an imperfect body, but yet they were in the presence of God. And anyway, I'll leave some of that. But looking at our body, what we were created for. I wasn't created to live in shame and guilt and sin. I was not created to have sin have dominion over me. But because of what happened there in the garden, we were all born in this sinful nature. Sin had dominion over us. I did things that I didn't want to do. I didn't have power to be free. Friends, I'm here to tell you this morning, if you're not born again, sin has dominion over you. It has dominion over us if we're not following Christ. If Christ, the Holy Ghost, is not in us, then sin, the flesh, the body, that this flesh has dominion over us. But in Romans 6, it talks about the Apostle Paul told the Romans church there, he said, let not sin have dominion over you. Let it not happen. Why? Because you're risen with Christ. It's now Christ in you. You now have dominion over it. What does dominion mean? It means power. Dominion means authority. Am I right? You rule over, right? So, here he's saying that we're not a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God. You're not your own. We're not our own. And this has become just more real to me. It speaks to me that, you know what? I ain't going to have control of this last breath. That's how much that little I owe this body. It's a little power. That's a little, I may have some control. I can do things. But really, down to the last breath, I have no control over. I'm not my own anymore. For you have been bought with a price. That price, we read over it so quickly. Why? We forget about the price. What was this price? It was the price of our redemption. It was the price of a man who left heaven and comes to earth, was sent by God and put on humanity, flesh and blood. He was willing to put off the all that he had to simply come down and be part of humanity, put it on himself, and be able to be at all points tempted like as you and I were. And there, that's the price. And then it was at his end. He gave himself. He laid his life down for us so that we can have eternal life. We can have this kingdom living and dwelling in us. We can have the Holy Ghost in us. Why is it important to have the Holy Ghost in us? Why is it so important that this body, it is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Why is it so important to have it? Why, friends, I'm telling you, when Jesus was with the disciples, he was with them. Not in them, but with them. He said, Except I go, the Holy Ghost cannot, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit cannot come. He's not going to walk beside you, but he's going to be in you. And I'm beginning to understand that more for me to get through life, for me to be able to rise above sin and have dominion over it. That had no more allowed it to have dominion over me. I need something greater than myself. You need something greater than yourself. You all need something greater than yourself. You need the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God in us. And this body is that temple where it can live and it can dwell. And the Holy Ghost is what helps us walk in righteousness. It helps us in the path of purity. It has to be pure in heart and in mind. It helps us to refrain from abstain from all appearances of evil and to cleave to that which is good. I was challenged in 2020 with all the media stuff. A lot of us were. And I'm not saying that we need to be ignorant and not know the things that are going on. I'm not saying that. But I came to the place that I had to somewhat let go of some things. And I tried to tell myself, it won't, you know, now I'm talking for myself. I'm not talking, speaking for you. But something that really spoke to me was that I know my son Benjamin, him and I are in the office full time together, and he could always tell. He could always tell when I was watching the news too much. He said, Dad, your attitude. Your attitude, Dad. One time we were discussing something, and I don't know how it came out. I have to ask him. He said, Dad, you were watching the news again. You were being intoxicated. I was intoxicated by it. See, it's a little bit like alcohol. You can drink all the alcohol you want. You can try to tell somebody you ain't going to get intoxicated. I would tell you you're deceived. This stuff is created and is made to intoxicate you. And it eventually will. And so it is with the news and some of that garbage that one time you hear this and you hear that and nothing lines up. And we take stuff in our minds and we begin to process it and we can't handle it. And it makes us go crazy. Now some, I believe, are called to work with that more and to help us understand what's going on. I understand that. But our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Brothers and sisters, what happened on the day of Pentecost? Them men were transformed from the old to the new. And there was life flowing out of them. The love of God in them flowed out of them. Righteousness and holiness They begin to walk in that path. They begin to, because it was leading them. In fact, John 14, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is going to lead and guide and direct you unto all truth. The Holy Spirit will help us and direct us in ways that we will not defile this temple. It will help us forgive when we need to forgive. It'll help us. Thank you, brother. I'll take some of that right now. Be forbearing. It will help us to be patient. It'll help us to be long-suffering. It'll help us not to take record of wrongs. It will help us. Let's just look at these small things that so often want to separate us from one another. Husbands, wives. When our differences pull us apart, something else had dominion over us other than God's love. Our relationship with each other as a body. Friends, we're living in a time that I don't know, John, you're older than me, that I don't know if we've ever seen a time like today where there's so much hatred amongst the body of Christ. We're seeing Matthew 24 unfold in front of our eyes. Like, I don't know if we've ever seen it before. I'm beginning to ask older people, have you ever seen such hatred, separations from each other? Hatred, I'm not talking about sin, but just simply because you see something different than what I see it. Or when I was confronted, when I should have been corrected, I was offended and I withdraw myself. We're seeing it in such a time. The Holy Ghost will not do that. The Holy Ghost will bring us to repentance. The Holy Ghost, why? Because the Holy Ghost is holy. And He wants our bodies to be holy. He wants our attitudes to be holy. He wants our the way with the things we say to be holy. He wants us the things that we do to be holy. That's why it's holy. That's why it says the temple is for the Holy Ghost. See, the old man was not holy at all. Our own righteousness was filthy rags. We could do a lot of good things. I could dress right. That doesn't mean I was holy. Except for the Lord Jesus Christ living and dwelling in me. And I like, Willie, could you bring those two glasses up here? I'd like to demonstrate something in closing here this morning. Oh, brother, it's about 12 o'clock. It's just been on my heart, brothers, just the things. Us fathers. I'm going to talk about us dads right now. Fathers, we are called to holy living. We are called to be fathers that are holy. Jesus commanded all of us, or in the Old Testament, I think it's found in Leviticus, and you also read it in 1 Peter, where he says, God says, be you holy, for I am holy. I would tell you, our children would know, our wives would know, if our vessel is not holy. What makes it unholy? What are the things that makes it unholy? And when it's unholy, there is things that come out of us that are not so good. And it affects these precious little children. It affects our precious wives, the gem of our life. The gem. It affects them. Fathers, husbands, if we don't live a holy life. Wives, that doesn't exclude you. Girls, ladies, you are called to live a holy life. We cannot make ourselves holy. It's God who does that. And when there is holiness in an individual, and holiness in a marriage, how beautiful that marriage is. It reflects their lifestyle, their life, the ways they do things, and the things they do, things they say reflects holiness. Moms and dads. Oh, I'm so challenged by this as a dad. I'm not always who I need to be. I'm learning. Is to be a dad that walks in holiness. I'm not just talking about being free from pornography. It goes much further than that. My attitude, patience, how I respond to my children reflects if I'm holy or not. Gentle. Now, I don't have to ask. We all know which vessel here is clean. And I know everyone from the youngest to the oldest that has the ability to walk and knows what they're doing. I know which cup, which glass they go for to get a drink of water. How do I know that? Why? Because we're created to drink something that is pure. We're created that way. That just comes naturally. We're designed for that. We're designed not to grab this cup and drink out of it. Why? Because it's dirty. We don't know what's in it. This, we do. We can see through it. Common sense. I would grab this cup to drink water. Do you know, friends, the Lord. Let's go to 2 Timothy 2. Really, we need to go to the third chapter first of all, and we'll come back to chapter 2 in closing here. 2 Timothy 3, the Apostle Paul warns Timothy. He said in chapter 3, he said, this know also, that in the last days, 2 Timothy 3, chapter 3, first verse, this know also, Timothy, in the last days, perilous times shall come. The word perilous means dangerous. Look it up. It means dangerous. When I looked up the word perilous, it took a whole new meaning of this chapter. He said dangerous times will come. Jesus said in Luke 21 and 22, Matthew 24, about the times that we're going to be approaching before He returns. I believe we're in that time. Maybe we've been many years ago, but in my lifetime it's begun to reveal to me and I begin to see the times we're living in where people will hate one another. Oh, we said, wow, I kind of love that person, but do you really? When you have that wall, you allow that wall between you. For men shall be lovers of themselves. I wish I'd have the New Living Translation. Really breaks it down into our language. Read it sometime in different translations. The New Living one is one I really like. It says, the men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, and proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, children. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, I don't know. I'm hearing more and more folks say, we're children, how disobedient and disrespectful the times we're living in to their parents. Now, I know some of us may be thinking, well, my dad just didn't understand me. I understand some of that. But there's a place to honor your father and mother in spite of your difference. And I believe there's a way you can do that. I believe there's a way you can honor in spite of how your dad feels about you. Do you have to agree with their sinfulness? Absolutely not. I don't know where all this goes, but it comes to my mind. I remember a story, a true story. This was in a liberal setting. It was not in a conservative setting. There was this young girl that was invited to go to revival meetings. And her parents were not Christians. And the girl was gracious enough to ask her dad, Dad, can I go to the revival meetings? He said, no. No, we don't do such things. This was worldly people, ungodly people. So this daughter honored her dad's request. And I think she asked a second time throughout that week. And dad said no. But God allowed something to happen around the father throughout that week. That he realized that maybe there's a reason why the daughter's asking us to go. And he said, we're going to, and he came to his daughter, him and his wife, and said, you know what, we're willing to go with you. You see the picture? And the daughter, mom and dad went. At night, all three of them got saved. I don't know where to put all this sometimes, but I just know what the Word of God says. In the last days, it's dangerous times. They'll be disobedient to parents, unthankful. People will be unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. The things that we just talked about, having a form of godliness, it says, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away from. The first two verses describe this inside of us, if that's who we are. I'm thankful for the cross. God can make us clean. Turn to chapter 2, to your left, 2 Timothy 2. In the beginning it says, thou therefore, talking to again us all here this morning. I know he's talking to Timothy. He says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who are able to teach others also. Verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. So is it possible that the affairs of this life can make me an unholy person? Absolutely. The affairs of this, what's the affairs of this life? John, 1 John, chapter 2, I think it is. He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For everything that is in the world is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. But those that do the will of God, my Father, shall endure forever, or something like that. I think that's how it ends there. But the point is this. Brothers, I thought about this chapter somewhat, the things I just said lately. I hear this saying sometimes, my work has gotten in the way. No, it didn't. Your work that God gave you has never gotten in the way. Your heart was not in the right place. Are you with me? I've heard this being said, that ministry has gotten in the way. No, it hasn't. God has entrusted something to you and I. It's what I did with my priorities with it. It's where my heart is. It's where my heart is. See, God wants the heart. With everything that God has entrusted, your work, your family, your ministry, whatever it may be, He wants us to prioritize and bring things in alignment with Him so He can receive glory. He says, glorify God in your body. We just read it. So glorify God in your body. Work can if my heart is not right. I'm not going to read it, but read it sometimes in Isaiah 2. It says that they worship the things that their hands have made. Things are made of God, by God. But they worship the creation more than the Creator. They bless, they worship the blessing more than the blesseder. So the point is this morning, friends, what God has entrusted to you, it is up to you and I. It'll be all according to my heart, where my priorities are at. The work that God has given me is to bring glory to Him. Is my heart in the right place? Is your heart in the right place? Working with a brother right now, a brother, and he feels like his work is keeping him from the Lord. He has a family that he needs to provide for. See, his priorities were helping him to help his priorities. Say, look, God has given you a place to work to provide for your family. God wants you to bring your priorities in alignment with him so that the workplace that God has given you, unless he's calling you somewhere else. But I've seen this trend with people. They go from one place to the next and go one place to the next. Everything has become, See, listen, God wants us to glorify him in his body. Wants us to glorify God in your bodies, he says. So, brothers and sisters, it's important that our priorities, your heart, if it's in for yourself, if your business is in for yourself, if your ministry is in for yourself, if your leadership, in your leadership team, if you're in for yourself, it's out of alignment, just like a big one. It's out of alignment. Guess what happens? If you don't fix that alignment and get things back in line, you're going to wear tires through. Then you're eventually going to ruin the vehicle if you keep it like that. Everything gets destroyed that you have your hands on, the steering wheel. You'll eventually destroy that vehicle. And so it is for us, brothers and sisters. God has called us to live a holy life. And he goes on to say in chapter 2, the end of the chapter, he says this. Verse 20, But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor, some to dishonor. He says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, a vessel of honor and some to dishonor, purge himself from what? The things that dishonor God. The things that dishonor the Lord. He says this, if a man therefore himself purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Like this cup here. This glass, this clean glass will serve. Can serve many people with clear, pure water in it. So it is for this vessel here. The vessel, you, where your spirit lives inside of, there to glorify God. Are your hands and feet honoring the Lord? Is your mind honoring God? Is the things you say honoring the Lord Jesus? The things that you do, are they honoring God? The things that you view and read, do they honor the Lord? The things you listen to, does it honor God? 2 Corinthians 5, last verse in closing. Verse 10. This is the most sobering verse. Someday, every one of us here, this will become reality for us. Someday, this is something I said one time, two things we cannot help. First thing, we can't help that we were born. The second thing is, we can't help that we'll someday, that reality of verse 10 will happen to us. It's going to be reality someday, brothers and sisters, it's going to be reality for us. And it says that for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. I'd like to close with that this morning. To me, when I think of that verse, it makes me somewhat tremble. Someday, everything that this body has done, I will see. That's what it says. And to the one who's been redeemed, we'll see Jesus. And we'll go at his feet and just worship. I don't think he's going to feel worthy to enter those streets and through those gates. But Jesus is going to say, come. Come. Forget how it all says in Revelations. The words that John had seen, to those that were redeemed, he said, come. And Revelations 20, it says, we need to go there. Brothers and sisters, this is Revelations chapter 20. Sorry, it's 21. And I saw a new heaven, a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all their tears from their eyes. I don't know. Why would they have tears? I don't know, John. But I believe they're going to see Jesus. We're going to see Christ for who he really is, was, and always was. That perfect, spotless Lamb laid his life down for us. And he said, there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall be there any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I will make all things new. And he said unto them, write, for these things are true and faithful. And he said unto them, I am, and it is done, I am Omega, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst the fountain of water of life freely. And he that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, listen, brothers, and the unbelieving. I don't know why John wrote down these first two words. He said the fearful and the unbelieving. It almost describes maybe those who've heard and knew. And he said, then it goes on to say, and the abominable, and murderers, and warmongers, and sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Brothers and sisters, all of us here, young and old, the most important thing in life between now, our birth date, to the death date, is somehow that our name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's going to be the most important. It's not going to be how much money you made. It's not going to be how popular, who we were throughout life, other than that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Those who've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, those who choose to follow Jesus Christ, those who choose to take up their cross, those who chose to deny themselves and take up their cross and follow Jesus. Because someday, friends, we're going to give an account to this body. We won't get by that. Is your heart right this morning? Is it clean? Is it holy? Is your body, is the temple of the Holy Ghost living and dwelling there? Has the Holy Ghost been speaking to you recently about some things? Have you been pushing it aside? The one young man that Brother Jesse talked about this morning was one of the men that was in my buddy bunch, and we were in, there was 15, I don't know how many there was of us. And he made this comment a few days before he got killed. There's a friend of mine that was in our group as well, went to visit him, see him, and me and my friend were born again, but my friend went by himself, and they went out fishing together and spent some time together throughout the day, and he went back home to his dad. When he got home that evening, he told his dad that what that man has is what I want. A few nights later, they wanted to go out one more night with their friends. And then that weekend was going to be a turning point in their life, they said. But this young man, life was snatched from him because of an accident. Now we think, how awful would that be? What if just one of us' life is snatched this week, today, and there's one thing that we just decided not to take care of? It's forever too late, brothers and sisters. It is forever too late. On that side of eternity, there is no turning back. There is no more repentance. There is no more repentance. It's gone. It's over. This body has died. The spirit will live on. And someday, If relationship, if my relationship's on my part, I have not done my part in restoring it, it's going to be forever too late. I have purposed to lay it aside. I have purposed not to deal with it. Don't hold back on it. Take care of it. Confess it. Repent of it. Turn away from it. Lay aside every weight. Don't hold on to the weight. Hebrew writer said, lay aside every weight and the sin, which does so easily beset us. Look unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. For the joy that's set before him, forget how it all goes there. I need to let it. Endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and I, pleading for us. He's pleading for us. He can't do it for us and won't do it for us. God won't do it for us till we choose to do our part. Then when we come running home to the Father, when we come running home to the Father like the prodigal did, the Father will come running to you. He'll wrap your arms around you. Yes, because you're his son, you're his daughter. You come home. If there's something in your life this morning, the altar is open. Why do we need an altar? I believe a public confession is where some of the victory lies. Did you know that Jesus called people out? He always called people out publicly. When Jesus may be calling you out this morning, maybe he's knocking on your heart, and he's calling you out like Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, come down. Today I want to abide in your house. You may be the Zacchaeus today. When he called on the publican, he says, come. He's called them out publicly. Tonight and this morning, today may be the day for you. If he's calling on you, respond to Jesus. Come to the altar and just talk to God. You're not talking to Keystone. You're not talking to Amos or Light of Hope. You're coming to the light of Christ, who gives you that living hope, who clears us. I'd like for our children to come. If you could just do a song, maybe. If there's someone here this morning, I don't want to make altar calls long, but if there's someone this morning that God has been speaking to you, maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's between you and your dad. Maybe it's between you and your mom. Maybe your children, maybe God's been speaking to you. Maybe you've dishonored your parents. God loves you, but he wants to make that holy inside of you and give you courage to learn how to honor, to obey them. Maybe it's somebody here, one of us older ones who've been corrected, and it brought an offense to us. And God was just using that person to speak into your life. Or maybe there's an uncleanness in your heart. Maybe there's pornography. Maybe your thought patterns, men, have not been the way it should have been. God wants to cleanse your mind, because if we don't put that under the blood, it'll eventually make us that. Did you know that? Our thought patterns, our thought life, if we don't learn to bring that into captivity and obedience of Christ, it'll eventually make us that. But this morning, maybe God's speaking to you. Why don't we all stand, shall we? We'll pray and just leave this altar open. I'm going to have Melvin come and close. If God is still speaking to your heart this morning, children, maybe there's somebody here that's not born again. Maybe you've just been gone. You might have been part of a church, but you know that you're not saved. God so loves you. He's waiting for you to come to him and say, God, I'm a sinner. I need forgiveness. I choose to repent.